Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And I don't know if we got to announce about little Kane Riley. Did you announce the flower right here? No? Well, let me just tell you that Kane Riley was born on Thursday, January the 30th, to Kyle and Jamie Cook. He was 7 pounds and 19 and a half inches long and has a big brother named Jace. Can we give them a round of applause? We're happy about brand new little Riley being born. We're excited about all the new babies that the Lord has given us, and we're very thankful. I just want to say before I get into the sermon today, I want to say thank you to all of our men for all of the hard work they put in. I don't know if you noticed, but our beds have been fixed up, and the playground where our children play has brand new fresh mulch. And that's not easy, getting that all that mulch inside that fence. And a bunch of our men were up here yesterday working. Can we give them a round of applause and a grateful thank you for what they've done? We're so grateful for that. Also, I just want to say to you that tonight we're going to be having the Lord's Supper at 6 o'clock right here, and I encourage you to be here. What a great, great time. This is a worship time for you to do business with the Lord, and it is a special, special service that we have when we have the Lord's Supper here at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I encourage you to be back. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Amen? Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. We've got single folks, we've got married folks. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many in our building today are believers, but there are those, some, that are seeking to understand the gospel, and so they are not believers yet. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to change lives, to transform us, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Say it with me. Jesus is wonderful. Now, we have been digging into the book of Ephesians, understanding the grace of God as a believer. Here's some things we've learned. We've learned that we have grace and peace, two of the greatest blessings, amazing blessings that God has bestowed on us. We've learned that we have grace in the heavenlies. We have been elected by God to be holy and blameless beyond belief, and that we have been predestined to be adopted into the family of God. We've learned that Paul, because of the grace of God, Paul prayed for those believers he was writing to, that they would understand the hope and the inheritance that they have, and that the Holy Spirit of God is the down payment for the rest of the load that comes in salvation. We have all that we're going to ever have of Jesus, but some of what we will experience comes at glorification when the Lord returns. And so the Holy Spirit has been given us as an earnest of our inheritance, or as a pledge to our ultimate inheritance. That's an amazing truth. We learn that grace has saved us from sin and to salvation. We learn that grace establishes the Christian. In other words, now we don't have Jews and Gentiles, we have Christians. We learned that last week. And the church becomes the dwelling place of God. Now, today we're going to talk about a mystery. Do you keep secrets? Did y'all used to keep secrets when you were little and have little clubs and say, hey, only certain people can come because you don't know the secret? I heard about two guys that were friends all their life. They grew up together, played ball together. Went and they raised their families together, and they were great friends. And then they got a little bit older and kind of got cantankerous towards one another a little bit. They loved each other, but man, they were known to kind of to get at each other's skin, get under each other's skin. And so one of them went on to heaven. He passed away. And when he got to heaven, he didn't realize this was coming. But he got there and he was met at the gate. And St. Peter at the gate said, "Sir, I just have one thing that you've got to pass before you get into heaven." He said, "Can you spell love?" Man, the guy was like, "Wow, I'm glad he said that one, you know. I'm glad it was love." He said, "L-O-V." He said, "Come on in." Well, so time went along, and his buddy that he had loved all his life, his friend, and he kind of gotten cantankerous with a little bit towards the end, he passed away. And the day that he came, St. Peter was busy, and so he got the first guy to stand at the gate. And so the first guy was standing at the gate, and he said, "Now, you know the test, right? You know what you're going to tell them when they come." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I got it. And so his buddy came to the gates of heaven, and he saw his friend standing there. He said, "Oh, man, it's so good to see you." And he goes, "Yeah, I kind of been waiting on you." He said, "You can come in, but there's only one test." He said, "I had to go through it. Everybody has to go through it. There's only one test." He goes, "You just have to spell something." He said, "What is it?" He goes, "Spell Czechoslovakia." Now, I'm glad that that's just a joke and we don't really have to spell anything. But by the grace of God, we make it into heaven's glory. But here's the thing. There are some mysteries. There are some secrets that have been revealed to us. And the book of Ephesians tells us about the mystery, the grace that reveals a mystery. Now, a mystery is not something puzzling like I just told you or something that is hard to grasp. It is something actually that was covered and is now revealed. The mystery in the Bible, a mystery in the Bible is something that was once covered and is now being revealed. The mystery that he is incorporating in the Gentiles is that the Gentiles and the Jews are one body in the church. This was a mystery. He has always wanted to reach the Gentiles, but that he has made them one body is the mystery. The Gentiles and the Jews, listen folks, the Gentiles and the Jews, that's all races. That's all people groups. We are one in the church, and that is what he is trying to tell us. It makes a difference in the way we live knowing that, doesn't it? It makes a difference in the way we live and share knowing that. So he starts out to pray for the believers in Asia, but then he takes a parenthesis to explain this mystery. Let me read it in my copy of God's Word. You follow along in your copy. This is Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." By the way, if you look to verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees." He never got to "I bow my knees" until he went through all of verse 1 through 13. He started out to pray, and then he never got to the prayer. He gets to it in verse 14. We'll talk about that next week and following. But instead, he takes a parenthesis, and he's going to talk a little bit about the mystery. Look at it. This is in verse 1. "The prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." Verse 2. "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation," and that word could mean stewardship. It could mean the stewardship. We'll talk about that in just a minute. "Of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." Now, he's talking about, he's writing to Gentiles. He says, the grace that was given to me for you. "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." There's the word mystery. "As I have briefly written already." Now, most believe that that was from chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. That's what we talked about last week. The mystery of how God has created the Christian. How he has made the Jew and the Gentile one in the church. Verse 4. "By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." There it is again. The word mystery. which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, and by the way, verse 6, I have it in my Bible, I have the whole verse circled. This is the description of the mystery, right here, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, there's that word again, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we end at verse 14. Now, there are four main movements about this mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery is in verse number 6, and he gives reference to it in other places in our passage, but that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that all people can receive the gospel of Jesus. There were those in the days of Paul who thought the only way you could become a Christian was if you became a Jew first. You had to go through Judaism before you could become a believer. And the mystery is no. It was always God's intent that the Gentiles would be reached through Israel. You remember when the Lord spoke in Genesis, he said, I'm going to make a great nation of Israel, and all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed in you. It's always been God's intent that his grace would go to all the peoples of the world. But when we come to this dispensation, or this stewardship, or this time, this age that we're in now, you realize now, it's not that they have to come through Israel, but they are going to be a part of the church, just as the Jews are part of the church. And so there's four main movements in this text that I'd like to share with you today. The first one is this. This mystery was proclaimed by Paul. Now he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, not of Rome. God had a plan. He had a plan for the Gentiles. And then he uses this phrase, the dispensation of the grace of God. The dispensation, another way to think about that stewardship, it comes from the word law and the word house. It's where we get the word economy from. In other words, we're in a steward. It's a stewardship type of a word. And he says, I have been given, Paul's saying, I have been given a stewardship to get the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles. And he says, by the way, even though I'm a prisoner, I'm not a prisoner of Rome, even though he was in Rome in prison. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and it's for the purpose to get the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Paul knew from the very beginning that he was going to be God's man to get the message to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, when Paul was converted, the scripture says this, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul knew from the very day he was converted, he knew that God was going to use him to get the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Paul also ministered in Antioch. If you want to go back and study this, you can write this scripture down. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, Paul ministered in a place called Antioch. And Antioch was a place where there were Jews and Gentiles both in the church. Up until that point, all the believers that were in Jerusalem, those believers were Jews that had been converted. But now the gospel was going out to other places. It was going to places where there were Gentiles. And so Paul ministered in Antioch where Jews and Gentiles stood side by side. Paul defended the salvation of the Jews and the Gentiles at the Jerusalem Council. If you want to go back and read that, look in Acts chapter 15. They had a big meeting of all of the apostles and all of the leaders of the early church. The church was brand new. The followers of Christ, it was a brand new movement of God in the world. And they had a meeting, and the question was this: do you have to become a Jew before you can be saved? And the answer in that Jerusalem council in Acts chapter 15 was no. And Paul was one of the persons arguing for that. And they came out on the right side of that decision. They realized, no, a person does not have to become a Jew first before they become a believer in Christ. In Romans chapter 15, it says that the apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul actually took up an offering from the Gentile churches that were out where he had started churches. He took up an offering to take back to the Jews in Judea. And so he did that, but when he got there, he was talking about Gentiles coming to faith in Christ there in Jerusalem, and a riot broke out in Acts chapter 21. So all of Paul's ministry was getting the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was able to calm them down. The people calmed those that were rioting down. And Paul was telling them about how God was working all over the world in the Gentiles. But then they rioted again when he mentioned the word Gentiles, and he was arrested. So the point of the first section of this text is that the Apostle Paul is the one who proclaimed this mystery. He was the one who God used to proclaim the mystery. It says, if indeed, this is verse 2 of our text, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation, in other words, the Lord revealed this to him on the road to Damascus, and in his preparation, he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. So you'll know that I'm the one that has that mystery to give to you. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So those early apostles and the prophets that were preaching, there was no Bible at this time. God revealed to Paul and to those prophets and those apostles that the gospel was to go to the Gentiles. And so it was proclaimed by Paul. Number 2, it was proclaimed to the Gentiles in verses 6 through 9. Because in verse 6 it says, that the Gentiles. So this mystery that was hidden before. Now, question. Was it always God's intent that the Gentiles have the grace of God? Yes or no? Yes, it was always his intent. However, this mystery was not revealed that God was going to set up the church. You see that? You don't find that in the Old Testament. And so this is a new dispensation. This is a new stewardship that was given to the Apostle Paul to proclaim, and it was also given to other apostles and prophets that were preaching. There was no Bible at this time, and they were preaching the Gentiles can be converted, and they don't have to become a Jew before they can give their life to Jesus Christ. And so it was proclaimed by Paul, number 1, and it was to the Gentiles, number 2. And in verse 6, the mystery is revealed. Now, it says there in verse 6 that we should be fellow heirs. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What's the difference between an heir and a joint heir? Well, if I had $100 to split up amongst my heirs, and I had 4 heirs, okay, then if I split that up evenly, then they would get, one would get 25, another one would get 25, another one would get 25, and another would get 25. Did I do my math right? Okay, that's $100, right? But listen, if they were joint heirs, that means they all four got $100, got the whole thing. And the scripture is saying, look, we are heirs of God. Then it says we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that everything Christ inherits as the Son of God has been given to those who believe on his name? And the scripture says that the Gentiles will be that way, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body with the Jews in the church and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Well, I tell you one thing, if there's anything crystal clear about the heart of God, the heart of God is about all people of all races, people of every nation. And the Bible says that we are to make disciples of all people in Matthew chapter 28. The word people means people groups. It means all the people groups of the world deserve to hear the gospel. That's why we ought to be a missionary people, because we've got to get the gospel to others. Hey, I'm glad people got the gospel to me, aren't you? I'm glad somebody cared enough about me, man. When I was a kid in Jacksonville, I wasn't interested at that time in God. As a matter of fact, they were coming to see me. I was running out the back door. They would come visit my house, our apartment on Barnes Road in Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. Is where I was. And they would come knock on my door and they'd say, we're Calvin's Sunday school teacher. And I'd say, Mom, tell them I'm not here. And I'd run out the back door. I said, you won't be lying. I won't be here. I'm gone. Boy, I'm glad they kept coming. I'm so glad they kept coming. I'm sure they were discouraged. They got in the car, I'm sure, every night and said, you know, that kid Calvin, every time we come here, he's never here. We can't pray with him. We can't talk to him about Jesus. But can I tell you something? They were motivated by something different than just convenience. They were motivated by this mystery. They were motivated by the gospel. They were motivated by the Great Commission. They knew that God was after me, that God wanted to save that little redheaded kid in that apartment with that single mom. And they kept coming and they kept coming. And then when my dad died, it got my attention. When I was 15 years old, my father died of cancer. And I tell you, I started thinking about eternity. You know, when you're little, you don't think about eternity. You don't think about dying. But I realized somebody I love, somebody I knew had died. And it got my attention, and I got interested. And then through influences in my family, I went to a youth camp, and I heard the gospel. I'm so glad those people never gave up on me. They kept coming. And so Paul was saying, look, this is the mystery that all people deserve to hear the gospel. And particularly for Paul, it was to get the message to all the Gentiles. He was enlisted to preach the message. We're to get the message to all people. Matter of fact, in verse 8, look, it says, in verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. God enabled Paul to understand this mystery and to preach it all over the known world at that time and to spread and plant churches so that others would hear the gospel. And then verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, Paul had an amazing humility about him. This grace was given. He didn't understand why it was given to him, but it was, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable. That word unsearchable is an amazing word. It means it cannot be traced out. You can't measure the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't trace it out. That's what that means. You'll never be able to trace it out. And in verse 9, it says this. It says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So, in verse 9, to make all see, it means to make plain. His job was to shed light. That's what it means to make it plain, to shine a floodlight on what had previously been hidden before. The mystery of the church had been hidden. They didn't know about it in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden God established something new. It's called the Christian in the local church, the Christian in the church of Jesus Christ. And that church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. That's everyone. All people are to be included and a part of the church. And so what was Paul's message? He said, I'm going to bear it give it light. I'm going to put a floodlight on that message. Folks, that's really what we're to do. We are to put, by the way we live and the things we say, we are to shine a floodlight on the truth that all people can be saved. They can give their life to Jesus Christ. So number one, it was proclaimed by Paul. Number two, to the Gentiles. And then number three, this is interesting, revealed to angels. Just one verse here that reveals this thing. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. I think that this deals not only with angels, but also with demons. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. The idea that there's an unseen world out there. You know there's an unseen world. Now, I don't want to get too mystical, but you know that in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, there are demons that are working against you. And there are angels that are there to protect you. Can I tell you this? This gospel, this mystery was not known to them. By the way, angels are not omniscient. Demons are not omniscient. They don't know everything. Sometimes we ought to close our mouth before we reveal everything about ourselves to them. But the point I'm trying to make is they don't know all things. And so even the angels, this was new to the angels. This idea to the angels that there was going to be a church, this mystery was interesting to the angels. By the way, do you know that the angels? I wanted to tell you this in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom. That word manifold means varied. It means many-sided, with a variety of colors. It's like the manifold wisdom of God is like a diamond with so many facets, and the angels don't know about all those facets. And so the scripture says the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and to the powers in the heavenly places. That's interesting. You know, in Luke chapter 15, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. There's a party in heaven every time somebody gets saved. When these guys got saved and today publicly profess their faith in Christ, when they got saved, there was a party in heaven because the angels rejoice. But can I tell you this? The angels, they don't experience salvation like we do. Y'all hearing me? Y'all out there? Okay. They don't experience salvation like we do. You know, I can go back and remember what it was like when Jesus saved me, when I was that teenage boy and I got saved. Oh, man, you're talking about tender. That's tender memories. You have that opportunity, but angels have not been saved. They have not been redeemed. They're fascinated by redemption. They're fascinated that God, the Father, would love His creation like He loves us, that He would send His only Son to die on the cross for these people. I think they wonder, God, why are you doing this for these people? They're stiff-necked and they're rebellious against you. And so they're fascinated. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then it says this, talking about salvation. And then it says this, things which angels desire to look into. Folks, I don't understand it all, but I know this. The angels are fascinated with your life in Christ. And here Paul is telling us, this mystery was proclaimed by me to the Gentiles, and it was revealed to angels. It was revealed to angels. Then the last thing, I got to tell you this. This was amazing. The principalities and the powers in heaven. Kenneth Wiest, who, by the way, Dick McCallum, Ms. Mary's here today, Dick McCallum, her late husband, studied at Moody Bible Institute, and he studied under Dr. Kenneth Wiest in the Greek New Testament. Dr. Wiest has four volumes on the Greek New Testament that every Bible teacher ought to have. We have them in our library. Go check them out in our library. I have relied, somebody told me about those when I was in college, and I have relied on them my entire ministry. They're powerful. And Dick, before he went to heaven, he called me up and he asked me to come to his house, and he gave me some of his own copies of Dr. Wiest. Here's what Dr. Wiest says about this text, about the angels and about them learning. He says this: the church thus becomes the university for angels. He says, the church thus becomes the universe for angels, and each saint is a professor. Look at you. You are a professor to the angels. In other words, the angels, they don't understand this thing about the church, Robert. They don't understand that what the grace of God has done in our life. And so this mystery is being revealed to the angels, and you know how they're going to learn it? By watching us. Are they getting the right message? Are they getting the right message that Jesus has changed us and that all peoples and all nations of the world can come to Him? And so, Wiest says that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the university for the angels because the angels long to look in there. I just thought that was fascinating. He says this: only in the church can the angels come to an adequate comprehension of the grace of God. They look at the church to investigate the mysteries of redemption. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that we are giving the angels a good education, that we're loving each other as we ought to love one another, that we are getting the gospel to those that need the gospel and sharing the mystery of the gospel of Christ with the world. So, number one, it was proclaimed by Paul, this mystery. Number two, it was proclaimed to the Gentiles. Number three, it's been revealed to angels. Here's number four, and entrusted to the church. In verses 11 through 13, it talks about the eternal purpose that is ours. It's not only an infinite length, but a complexity of God's age-long purpose. And in verse 12, our passage says this: in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Do not lose heart. You become a good messenger of the mystery of God, is what he's saying. It's been entrusted to the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will teach others also. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel message is ours. The mystery of the gospel message, that it's for all people, is ours to share. And no one else is going to share it except the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the church will prevail. The scripture says when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said, and you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a secret. I'm glad we don't have to spell anything when we get to heaven. And the kind of secret I'm talking about is not the one that, like you had when you created a little club when you were a kid and you said, you know, this is just for us. Nobody else can come in because we got a secret. No, this is a secret we are to reveal. This is a secret we are to share with the entire world, that they can know Jesus the way we know Jesus, the way Jesus has changed our life. And by the way, while we're revealing it, we are the university for the angels. They want to understand. They long to look into redemption. They don't understand redemption. They've not been saved like we have. And so whenever we live the Christian life, we are sharing with the heavenlies this mystery of the gospel. I'd like for you to bow your heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.